Butler's willing to play this tough schedule, a tough loss at Louisville. What would you make of Butler's Will starting 1-2?
Well, I guess the loss at Evansville is a little bit surprising, but really not tremendously, because you're taking a team where you've got four freshmen, two of which were injured for that Evansville game, down to open a new arena against a very well-coached team, although they're not known across the country as obviously a powerhouse, but Evansville had a lot of experience back. So knew that that would be a tough one. What was frustrating about that game, and as you said, you were there and you saw it as well, was that Butler blew a 13-point second-half lead. That's what was really discouraging. And also, certainly the refs had some interesting calls late that probably went against Butler. But the bottom line is you had a 13-point lead and you lost it. And Evansville, whether you like it or not, with what the refs called, they played better in overtime and they got the victory. And then nice bounce-back win against Chattanooga, very experienced team, and you held them to 46 points. Not many people are going to do that against that Chattanooga offense this year. And then the Louisville game, that was kind of what I expected. You know, Butler played great for 30 minutes, was right there neck and neck with Louisville, and then just did not finish the basketball game off. And Louisville's superiority athletically and their older experience, I think, showed.
You can't replace guys like Matt Howard, who graduated, and Shelvin Mack, that went off to the NBA. Where do you see those spots being filled? Who do you see those spots being filled by? And, I think more than anything, Coach Stevens is looking to the young guys and see what kind of talent he has with the freshmen and sophomores.
Yeah, that's the question, is who's going to score this year for Butler? Because last year it was Mack and Howard, the leaders. The year before that it was those two along with Gordon Hayward. It's going to have to be a collective effort, but who's going to lead this team in scoring, I think, is going to be, certainly you got to look to Andrew Smith. He's your 6'11 force on the inside, and the offense really needs to revolve around him. Even when he's not scoring and getting shots up, you have to work the ball inside to Andrew Smith to keep the defense honest and open things up on the perimeter. Outside of him, I think the number two scorer, if not the top scorer on the team, will be Krishan Hopkins. He's the guard that's now a sophomore, saw limited action last year. Very explosive player. We saw him have great games against Evansville and Chattanooga, but he got locked up against Louisville and just had 4 points because he wasn't ready, I don't think, for the type of guard play that was defending him with those Louisville Cardinals. But as the season goes on, you're going to have to get point production from Andrew Smith and Krishan Hopkins. Outside of that, you're hoping for Kyle Marshall to dump in 8 to 10 a game. And then if these freshmen like Cameron Woods and Roosevelt Jones and Andy Smithers, if they can start contributing a little bit off the bench to help Butler's bench scoring, which has really been non-existent so far, I think this really could be a good team, Scott, later down the line in January, February, and hopefully into March.
One of the things Butler's sort of known, or what I've seen in these last few years, is they've sort of got off to slow start, sort of seen what they have to work with. Where's the wins going to come from? They've had mid-season struggles like they did last year. Many people, including myself, questioned they're going to have to win this Horizon League to even make the tournament. And then, of course, they go on to the title game. Is this sort of the product of how Brad Stevens sort of, I guess, develops his teams? Very patient with them, ongoing, willing to play, to open Evansville's arena, to host a Louisville team. Is that sort of Coach Stevens' strategy, I guess?
Yeah, I think you really have to commend Butler, especially in the last 4 to 5 years, for quote-unquote scheduling up. They realize that while the Horizon League, in their mind, is a very good conference, in the eyes of the folks who are filling in the brackets on Selection Sunday, the Horizon League just doesn't stack up against the BCS conferences, and understandably so. It's not as deep talent-wise, certainly, as the Big Ten or the Big East. No one's going to argue that. So what you've got to do to make up for that is you've got to try to get some big-time wins in the non-conference. And Butler has. You saw it probably on ESPN.com in the preseason. It was ranked one of the toughest non-conference schedules. And a lot of schools in the non-Power 6 conferences are hesitant to do that because they just say, you know what, we would rather try to get wins against inferior teams than stack up potential losses against teams like Indiana, Purdue, Louisville, et cetera, that are on Butler's schedule. So I really commend Butler for doing that. I think it does two things. One, we've seen that really in the eyes of the committee that pays off, and they value that strength of schedule, playing a team like Louisville at home or on the road, either one, versus playing a lower level Division I opponent. But two, especially when you've got a young team, it makes that team grow up pretty fast. you threw four, Brad Stevens threw four freshmen into that game yesterday against the seventh-ranked team in the country, and they got a taste of big-time college basketball. And that is certainly only going to help them when the Horizon League schedule comes around, because the other teams in the Horizon League, while they're playing decent non-conference schedules, they're not having the experiences night in and night out that the Butler Bulldogs are.
Joined here by Brandon Gunn, the play-by-play voice of the Butler Bulldogs. And Brandon, I guess also more than anything this year than previous years, is Butler's getting every team's best game because they're getting up for Butler. They realize this team has been to the title game the last 2 years. I think they're no longer thinking, taking Butler so softly.
Yeah, it's interesting. Last year, after the run to the title game, everybody said that was fantastic, and now Butler is a target, and they were last year. But now, after doing it 2 years in a row, I think that is exponentially so the truth. And when Butler goes on the road, especially against teams out of the Big Six conferences, you know, when they go down to Indiana, sure, for Indiana, it's a big game because it's close and it's a rivalry, but Indiana plays teams that are better than Butler throughout the year. But when Butler goes in conference out to Youngstown State and to Cleveland State, and that's the marquee game on the schedule for those teams. So yes, there will be an even bigger target this year. And with Butler's youth and inexperience, that's why I think it'll be a big, big test for Brad Stevens to see what he can do with this club.
And now let's look ahead to that Indiana-Butler game. Butler, of course, has a game tomorrow, Savannah State. Indiana plays Gardner-Webb. One of the most interesting storylines I'm looking forward to is the matchup, Andrew Smith, Cody Zeller inside.
Yeah, that's one that I think a lot of people are tuned up for. It should be very interesting. You know, I've had the chance here to watch Indiana the last couple of games, watched them last night in the victory over Savannah State. And I tell you what, not only has Cody Zeller been impressive, but the Hoosiers have everybody. It seems like 1 through 5, or heck, the guys coming off the bench 1 through 10, however deep they are. They've all been impressive. Right now, to me, and I know that you guys have probably talked about this at length, but this looks night and day from the Hoosiers of the past couple years. And I know that they haven't been playing the best of competition, but it doesn't matter. It's how they have won against that competition and how convincingly and easily they have won that has truly impressed me. And Butler is certainly going to have their hands full. I think that Andrew Smith and Cody Zeller, that'll be fun to watch. But ultimately, what's done around the perimeter with the guards of each team and the wings and the three-point shooting could decide that basketball game.
And finally, before I let you go, talking about the guards, where do you see Ronald Norred with this team? He doesn't really have the offensive production, but I see him more as a vocal leader and a guy that gets it done defensively.
Certainly. I mean, he's your assist guy, and it really is a cliche, and I hate to use it, but he's a coach on the floor. You hear Brad Stevens say that, and I'm going to steal that little acronym there. I mean, he's a guy that you need in the huddle, because bottom line is when you've got a couple freshmen out there and they're confused on a set or a defensive scheme, Butler's system is very intricate. And when you've got a guy like Ronald Norred that's out there directing traffic and saying, no, Roosevelt Jones, you know, you go here, and Andy Smithers, you go here, that's a big help to Brad Stevens. So Ronald Norred right now, not only is he dishing out 5 to 6 assists a game, and you mentioned it, he's not great scoring, but he can defend like no other, and he can distribute the basketball. You throw in those elements with the overall leadership that he provides, and he's just hard to take off the court for Brad Stevens.
Brandon, thanks so much for joining us, and look forward to see you down here in Bloomington on Sunday.
Excited about it. Thanks for having me, Scott.